Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm still Alan Collier, and we'll now move on and talk to Anchor. Now, we've spoken to Anchor many times over the last few years. We've certainly spoken to the CEO there, Heidi Tucker. We've also had Heidi as part of our choice tune. So any of the choice tunes, you can, if you've got an hour or half an hour, you can log onto our website. You'll see podcast. Click on that, then click on Choice Tunes, and you can go down there and you can find all about the things that have happened. So this afternoon I have with me the CEO, Heidi. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Alan. Good to catch up with you again.
Same to you. And well, Lauren also, and she's the Partnership and Development Lead, so we'll find out about that. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Now, Heidi, we haven't seen you for a while, and I think this is the first time this year, so how was Christmas in Heidi's family?
Oh, Christmas was lovely, pretty relaxed, I have to say. Didn't get too carried away with things. Saw my lovely grandbaby and my daughter for a few days. So, yeah, it was nice. It seems like a long time ago now.
Well, it is. It's 5 months ago. Heidi, is that your first grandchild?
It is. It is indeed. A little boy called Dexter.
I'll bet Granny was really rapt to see him.
I am. He's gorgeous.
How long were they down for, Heidi?
About a week.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, it was nice.
Anyway, we're here to talk about the National Reconciliation Week, which I believe is on this week. Is it an ends at the weekend or?
Correct. It started on Saturday and it ends this Saturday, I believe. Right. Yes. Yes.
So, I guess, what are Anchor doing about the week? Have they got any special events on?
Look, I'll hand over to Lauren because she's our lead in all things reconciliation. So I'll just handball over to her.
Lovely little handball there, Heidi.
No, look, Alan, we like to, as an organisation, we like to participate across all of the lands that we operate in. So we work across Wurundjeri, Bunwurrung and Bunurong countries, so Cardinia, Knox, Maroondah and Shire of Yarra Ranges, all Yarra Ranges council areas. And so we like to attend all of the council's events and services. We don't necessarily put them on ourselves, but we celebrate internally, and we get a lot of work done internally on reconciliation during this week, amongst every other week.
First of all, let's go back just one little step. When did the National Reconciliation Week start, and how did it start?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, and look, it was kicked off by, in 1997, by the Bringing Them Home report.
Yep.
So in 1997, the government, well, before that, obviously, commissioned a big report, and basically it unveiled the Stolen Generations was what that report did. And so fairly soon after that, we started with Sorry Day, which is usually May the 26th. And then bolted onto that a few years later was National Reconciliation Week. And look, essentially, Alan, it is a week for non-Aboriginal Australians to reflect on the 200 plus years of colonisation of this country and the damage it has done to individual Aboriginal people and their communities. And I guess it's also linked to reconciliation is really, I guess the word itself is coming together and walking alongside. And what Anchor, you know, I said to Lauren this morning, you know, for us, National Reconciliation Week is every week of the year.
Yep.
And Sorry Day is also 365 days of the year. So it's something that deeply affects Anchor, because Anchor was part of a social services system that I guess, you know, had policies and activities that really harmed Aboriginal people. And I don't think necessarily that anyone had that intention. And sometimes things were done, the thoughts were for the greater good, but in fact they really damaged Aboriginal people. So, yeah, it started in the concept of this started in 1997 with the Bringing Them Home report, and I just really actually refreshed my memory on that because obviously I was a professional then. Yep. And I remember at the time being incredibly shocked, even though I'd been in the system many years before that. And I look back on it occasionally because it's on my desktop and it still has a visceral kind of effect on me about the trauma and the damage.
Heidi, I guess I'll throw it over to the two of you. I'm not sure who's going to answer this one. But since 1997, do you think we've made minor improvements, mediocre improvements, or we've come a long way?
Happy for Lauren to answer that.
Don't just both sit there and smile. That doesn't make good radio.
You know what? I think we still have an enormous way to go. I think we still have an enormous way to go. I think Reconciliation Week is really about us taking the time to learn. And to educate other people who may not have learnt as much as what we have over the last little while. I think that as a state, we're a little bit ahead of the game in terms of when you compare other states and their activities. But as a country, we've still got an awfully long way to go.
Lauren, let me just ask you a question attached to that. You say we've still got a long way to go. Is that because we're going fairly slowly, or is it because as we progress further along, we find we haven't gone as far as we think we have? We're finding new things. Heidi's nodding yes, so you think that's right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me personally, you know, Anchor has stepped into the reconciliation space as an organisation wanting to take on a reconciliation journey, take Anchor on a reconciliation journey, and we started that a little while ago. We've launched our very first Reflect Reconciliation Action Plan, and it's a big body of work for an organisation. Even, you know, we're not an enormous organisation, but for an organisation of our size, it's an enormous piece of work. And we really have to change the bones of our organisation as a first step. And I think I've learned that what I thought I knew, I don't.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
And we don't know at all.
All right, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Let me hold you. We're a love, oh, 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 no, no. Well, a little of my love, of it all.
I'm speaking with Heidi, who's the CEO down at Anchor, and also Lauren, who's the Partnership and Development Lead at Anchor. I'll throw this one to either of you. Do you find that when we're talking about 1997, do you find that the people are now more accepting that we should do something, or did you find that the population at that stage were very happy to come along with you, or did you initially find a few little setbacks, but now people have...
Do you know what I think has changed, Alan, is probably at some... I think what has changed actually is truth-telling. Yep. I think Aboriginal people have been encouraged and made and enabled to feel safe enough to talk about the truth.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, we've all gone on with our busy little lives and we might not have sort of seen things or we might not have even understood what we were seeing.
Right.
And I think with the truth-telling and, of course, the URAC Commission, a Royal Commission just at the moment, which is happening in Victoria, and it's about the sort of government services and government policies and how it affects Aboriginal people. It's covering across justice through the courts. It's the police. It's, you know, child protection, etc. And we're hearing the truth, actually hearing it, truth from people's mouths. I reflected myself after the service on Friday that, you know, I was managing institutions in the early 90s and I suddenly had this vision of these young people, teenagers, Aboriginal teenagers. They'd come in from the country and it was a locked facility. It wasn't just a justice facility. It was for state wards.
Right.
And a number of Aboriginal kids. And I can almost see their faces. And the things that happened to them, most of them are not here anymore. Most of them died very young. But I remember one boy whose mother, so this is back in early 90s, his mother lived under the bridge at Sydney Harbour with another group of Aboriginal people, so sleeping rough. And I remember her dying and I remember his terrible distress. He was about 14 or 15. And I said to somebody, an Aboriginal person last Friday, I just had this realisation that actually I was providing services for the children, direct children of people, their parents who'd probably been stolen in the generations.
Yep.
Yeah. And I really had a moment, and it was because I now know the truth. I know the facts and the truth. And I think white people particularly, we run on facts and science, and unless we have facts and science, we don't believe something. And so I think what's really changed is that we're creating an environment for Aboriginal people to either express the truth of what they've seen and the facts, and we're starting to listen. And we're, you know, even our Premier has said sorry, at the URAC Commission said sorry, yep, that we're still harming you.
Heidi, something I was going to ask you, because you've been in it for some time.
Long time.
I wasn't going to say that.
No.
more polite than that.
Yes.
Heidi, do you find that the Indigenous, particularly Aboriginals, Aborigine race, were sceptical to start with and therefore didn't want to tell us too much? And if that's the case, are you finding now that they're more open, that they are prepared to tell the truth?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you put yourself in their shoes, you know, there've been efforts over the last 200 years to tell the truth, to go to officials, go to the police or whoever it was that you should be able to trust and tell them that something had happened and you're not be believed. And so that pretty quickly shuts down anybody else going and telling anyone. But I think that I think Aboriginal people have become, you know, safe. And not to forget that much of what they have to say is reliving their trauma. And while it might have happened to their parents or their grandparents, what you saw on Friday at the Sorry Day ceremony is the descendants with the pain still in their face. So for them, the pain is still very real, and it's not them necessarily that have been part of the stolen generation. So I think that, Yeah, I think Aboriginal culture and white culture hopefully are starting to understand each other. And I think it's fair to say that as white Australians or Anglo-Australians, we're starting to understand, or not maybe understand, but appreciate that Aboriginal people have a very complex, long-standing culture.
Yep.
And that actually, you know, it's been, yeah, that's been part of them for thousands of years. And I think finally we're starting to recognise that. I think, you know, Lauren can also add to this, but I think that what at Anchor, what we try to do is to listen, because we don't have the answers. We don't know what will assist reconciliation. So we're extremely fortunate to have two or three Aboriginal people that sit alongside us and coach us on our reconciliation journey. Maybe Lauren, you might want to say something.
Yeah, sure. Look, we are exceptionally lucky to have some wonderful people who are extremely knowledgeable sitting alongside our Reconciliation Action Plan Committee. One of the things I think that I've learned throughout this whole journey is that regardless of how much we think we know and we think we've learned, we don't fully understand, no. And every time a conversation is had, every time a conference is attended, we certainly learn an awful lot more. I don't think that we as an organisation will ever understand exactly what was experienced, but what we can do as an organisation is use the networks and the platforms that we do have to communicate the importance of reconciliation, the importance of educating individuals and other services to make ourselves as safe culturally as possible for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities to attend our services and get the support that they may need.
All right, I need to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
I'll miss my buzz.
Well, I just wonder
working and playing in the Yarra Valley. The home of Yarra Valley FM 99.1. The voice of the valley.
I'm talking to Heidi, who's the CEO down at Anchor, and also Lauren. Heidi, first of all, you've spoken in your last couple of answers, you've talked about a service last Friday. What was that service?
Okay, it was the service at Knox City Council in their gathering place, which they have formed out the side of their council premises. They tend to run, and it's on, you know, it's to mark Sorry Day. Yep. It's you know, it was a collaboration between Aboriginal people and the council. And look, you know, there was some didgeridoo playing and a dancing. There was also, you know, speakers, Aboriginal speakers. So I'd call it more of a ceremony to mark the day. And there was reflective time. There was also healing time. So they had a smoking ceremony where, you know, that's their traditional way of healing. We all put, you know, sort of little branches into the fire and so forth. So very moving and you know, pretty somber. Because it was marking, you know, very, very much a ceremony of remembrance.
Were Anchor involved in that, or were you just participants that went along?
I encouraged as many staff to go as possible. I had a staff about 15 go with me.
Oh, cool.
So that was fabulous. And I think, Alan, it's important to say that all Anchor staff do a 15-hour course that's online that they have to do. It's compulsory. And I think that for us, what we found over the last couple of years is that it's enabled a fertile ground for us to, as an organisation, really achieve our reconciliation goals. So, for instance, you know, we very much support Aboriginal children and Aboriginal care.
Yep.
Unfortunately, in our care system, our child protection care system, there are probably a third of the children being removed from their parents are Aboriginal.
True.
So, you know, the stolen generations continue. But we're incredibly committed to supporting our local Aboriginal communities and organisations so that, you know, Aboriginal children stay in their care. And we've got a couple of examples of that we do. And that means that we serve those Aboriginal organisations and assist and support them. I think the other statistic that's very alarming is that in the last 5 years, there's been an increase of 24% of people who are homeless who are non-Aboriginal, but 42% who are Aboriginal. So Aboriginal people the increase has been double non-Aboriginal.
Heidi, would it be fair to say that, I mean, there has been a bit of work in the years gone by, is it fair to say that what we tried to do, and I say we, I'm talking about, well, us, you know, that we tried to impose on these on the Indigenous people what we thought they should have, rather than listen to them and say, what do you want to do? Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, look, I think it is in whole, you know, in part and in whole. I think that what we see with colonisations all over the world, no matter what time frame it's in, that the colonisers just want the people they're colonising to be like them.
We're good at that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm English and the British were, you know, champions in that. And so I think, you know, the colonisers of 200 odd years ago, they thought they were living a very good life and that their values and the way they live life was right.
Yep.
That was the right way to live. And that Indigenous Aboriginal people were not living the right way, you know, as they considered it. And they didn't consider that Aboriginal people were living the life they wanted to. I think it also became very blurry, Alan, unfortunately, when, you know, I guess that as colonisers do, they then I guess eventually in most parts of Australia, you know, Aboriginal people partnered with non-Aboriginal people, and then there were, you know, they used to call them half castes, which was a terrible word, but of mixed blood, mixed race, and that's when I think it all did become extremely complicated, because you know, the Stolen Generations were very much about if a child had any whiteness in them or any white relative, then they actually needed to grow up a white life. So they were stolen, they were taken, because they believed their parents were not going to provide that, and they were put in institutions and things like that. So that's, I think, you know, it sort of went terribly downhill then, unfortunately. But it is the story of colonisation around the world.
All right, look, I've got to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage, current thing, Jeannie Bopper is our newborn king, And the beat goes on, the beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. The grocery store, the supermarket. Little girls still break their hearts, And men still keep on marching off to war. Goes on, the beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da.
Grandma's sitting chairs and reminisce.
Chasing girls to get a kiss.
The cars keep a going faster all the time.
Mom still cries, hey buddy, have you got a dime?
And the beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
The beat goes on.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Heidi, which is the CEO of Anchor, and I was trying not to burp, sorry about that, and Lauren from, she's a Partnership and Development Lead. Now, coming up later this year, we've got the referendum on The Voice. Now, do you want to tell us what Anchor's approach to that will be, please?
We were just talking about that offline. I'll hand that over to Lauren.
Look, we're frightened I wasn't going to get there.
I think that it's a very, very important time this year is a highly emotional time for Australia's First Nations people, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities across the nation. The voice is something that has been waited for a very, very long time. We're taking the position that we need to encourage everybody to vote. We need to encourage community to vote. But to do that, they need to educate themselves. So we're learning still about what it means to have that voice. It's not a matter of should there be a voice or should there not be a voice, but there's a lot of more complex little parts to it. And so unless you and like I said, we're still learning, so probably best not to ask me what those complex parts are. But what we do know is that if everybody has their say, then the right voice will be heard. And you can use platforms like hearing, not necessarily always just listening to those on social media about what they're thinking, but listen to elders, listen to people in the know, listen to ACOs and ACHOs and people with a lot of experience and knowledge in the community to help you to make your very own individual decisions about which way you're going to vote. So one of the things that we did commit to was to use our platform to encourage that education process and that voting process for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So we really don't have a position there. It's not our place to say.
And I guess one of the worst things that can happen in anything like this, if people don't know the facts and they're frightened about it, they vote against things anyway, yep. Don't they? They don't. The average voter doesn't like the unknown, as I see it.
Yeah.
I think you're right, and I think unfortunately, a bit like when we had the same-sex marriage referendum, you know, is that it got taken over by politicians and social media, and
they're the worst.
Yeah, and you know, celebrities and whatever, and you know, but what did the average Joe, you know, what were they thinking? Did they understand what you know, the impact it would have, etc.? And the same goes for this referendum. I think it's and you know, we've been extremely careful with our Aboriginal, you know, friends and colleagues that we know this is a hard year for them. That you know, like people who are in same-sex relationships and wanted to get married, it was a tough time for them. Yep. You know, that, you know, really tough time in the sense that they got picked on and all that sort of stuff. So we know that. But also for our Victorian Aboriginal friends and colleagues and community, is that they have the URUC, you know, Truth-Telling Commission. Yep. And a lot of them are involved in that. And what they also are working pretty hard on setting the foundations of treaty. So they've got a really big year.
Yeah.
And so at the beginning of the year, when we heard from our Aboriginal people, you know, the people on our committee, that, you know, they said we've got a really big year. And so we've really respected that. We've just sort of stepped back a bit, and we're just continuing on with our reconciliation activities, but not, I guess, not expecting, you know, privilege of their voices, because it's a big year for the community. I mean, you know, it's probably quite an exciting year, but it's very emotional. It's a lot to take on. Lot to take on board.
Well, they're taking on quite a few hundred years of discrimination and that, aren't they?
Trauma.
Trauma. Yeah, that's a better word.
Inequality, etc. Yes, it's as Lauren said, it's layered and complex, very complex layers of this, you know, the situation. But I think just to reiterate what Lauren said about the referendum coming up later in the year for all of us, is that our position really is that everyone should be educated, whether you're Aboriginal or non-Aboriginal, educated, putting, you know, giving the facts, because social media and all this sort of kerfuffle is not the facts.
No.
So trying to share the facts and trying to, you know, support people to ask questions, etc. So, it's a difficult time for many.
Mm. All right, we'll just take one more quick break and this will be our last break. We'll be back with more. Sometimes I wonder how Jimmy Barnes has still got a voice the way he's been belting the songs out over the years, but he still does. It's good to hear from him. Lauren, we've been talking a lot about this Reconciliation Week. Now, I know we're halfway through it already, but have you got any events coming up between now and the end of the week, please?
Oh, yeah. Look, there's a huge one happening on Thursday morning, so that's tomorrow morning at about 10 a.m. at the Memorial Hall in Healesville. The Yarra Rangers Council are hosting this, and there'll be a huge array of guest speakers, performances, presentations, including Jill Gallagher from the Voice Referendum, Ruben Berg from the First People's Assembly of Victoria. We've heard him speak before, and it's worth it to just go and hear him speak. Una, our local ACCO, will be there and will be contributing to the day, as well as didgeridoo performances and Daniel Rioli.
Lauren, do people need to book in or how do they
I think you do have to register. I think you do have to register on the Yarra Rangers Council website.
So they better do that pretty quick, aren't they?
Yeah, they better do that pretty quickly. although I don't believe that anybody would be turned away from coming to involve themselves in a Reconciliation Week event. And there's an enormous car park right next door, so why not?
You fill up the shopping spaces.
Fill up the whole car park.
Been there. So anybody who wants to go would certainly be advised to get onto the Yarra Rangers Council, did you say, website?
Yes. Yep.
Terrific.
Yep.
And so that's really the last event for the week?
Well, that I know of, off the top of my head, I know that our staff at our organisation have been making their way around to Knox Council, to Maroondah Council, Cardinia Council, and the Yarra Rangers Council events being held throughout the week. So we've got about another 10 or so staff from our Youth Development and Homelessness Services going to the Memo Hall tomorrow. So if you see us out there, come and say hello and give us a wave.
Yep. So what is tomorrow like? There's going to be guest speakers. Will there be displays there as well from other organisations, or what? Do you know that?
I'm not quite sure. I know that UNA will be quite prominent as our local Aboriginal-controlled community organisation. Community health organisation now. So there will be a lot of presence from UNA there.
All right. So tomorrow, what time did you say at the MIMO?
At 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m., yeah.
Hang on, you said 10:30. Which do you mean, 10 or 10:30?
10.
10 a.m. at the MIMO Hall, but would be better to get onto the website.
Yeah, yep.
Hi. Oh, pardon me, I swallowed some air. Heidi, what have you got coming up for the rest of the year for Anchor?
Well, we have launched our end of financial year fundraising campaign, which tells the story of a young woman that was living in kinship care and talks about the extra yards our staff went to. She was disengaged from school, and so we looked at some tutoring to get her back on track, and then some support, you know, to go back to school because she'd been, you know, really quite traumatised. But the donations themselves will go into a bit of a fighting fund, Alan. You know, the government only funds sort of certain things, but what we find is there's kind of, you know, a lot of quite bespoke needs. Something that's, you know, that I can recall is we had a father who was on his own, single father. He had two autistic children that he was trying to raise himself, and his car broke down. And, you know, it was just the end of the line for him, and he just had absolutely no money to get it fixed. So we were able to use our fighting fund to get him back on track. And, you know, we can do things like that. We can just, you know, quickly access this pool of money and get people back on track. I mean, Anchor really doesn't, you know, really tries to assist people in those early stages of, you know, going into crisis. It's much better to nip it in the bud early.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we sort of sometimes give people rent assistance and things like that. So there's a whole myriad of things that this fighting fund can do. So we're really encouraging donors to donate to that fund so we can do more.
I think you've got something up on the website at the moment, haven't you?
Most certainly. Yes, most certainly. Anchor.org.au.
Heidi, just one other quick question. We've still got another 2 or 3 minutes.
Yep.
Foster care. Last time I spoke to you, you were desperate for foster carers. Are you still desperate?
Oh, yes, Alan. We absolutely are. We're absolutely desperate for people who might have an interest in being a foster care family. That includes singles, same-sex couples, people without children, people with children. Nobody's excluded as such. Best if people have their a spare bedroom. But, you know, it's more the willingness that we're really looking for. But, yes, we absolutely are, Alan. Unfortunately, in Victoria, we are seeing hundreds of carers leave the system every year. We're doing okay at Anchor, but, you know, foster care is in dire straits. So we absolutely need more foster carers because there are more and more children coming into care.
And the problem is that if you haven't got the foster carers, well, it only makes the problem worse, doesn't it?
Oh, much, much worse, Alan. Kids end up living in hotels and motels and caravan parks, which, you know, with rostered staff, which is just dreadful. We're absolutely on the hunt for people, and we really encourage people to go on our website, anchor.org.au, look at the phone number there. Can't remember it off by heart.
I can ask you the number.
No. It'll be there, right there on the home page, and people can ring that and just make an inquiry. Honestly, Alan, it doesn't hurt for people to make an inquiry and just ask a few questions. It might or might not be for you, but I cannot emphasise enough how desperate we are for new foster carers.
So, I mean, what happens to the young people if you haven't got the foster carers? You just got to put in motels and that, do they?
Yes, they sometimes do. Sometimes, you know, you might argue their return to unsafe situations a bit too early because the system just can't deal with them.
It's not good.
It's not good. Any way you look at it, Alan, it's not good. We need to have the capacity for children who need this care. And they might only need the care for a weekend, overnight, or they might need care until they're 18. So that's the other thing for people to consider is that you can do, you know, you can provide emergency care, short-term care, long-term care. But, you know, anyone out there, please give us a ring.
So I guess what you're saying really, there's no barriers. I mean, it's not as though someone's signing up for 10, 12 years or something. They might sign up for 6 months.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I mean, I guess, you know, each family or, you know, sort of group of people living in a household, families are very diverse these days. Yep. You know, each group of people have different capability and capacity. And I think what we see with carers that are in the system, foster carers in this system, you know, their life takes turns, turns and ups and downs where they're able to do more and then able to do less. And that's okay. Our volunteer foster carers are sacred.
All right. So they need to get onto the website, which is anchor.org.au.
Correct.
As soon as possible and volunteer. Look, unfortunately, the time is gone.
Yes, it always goes quick, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? I'm sure we'll talk to you again a bit later in the year,
yes,
Heidi.
So it's you will.
Pleasure to talk to you again. And Lauren, I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.